Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The White Flag, a podcast about slowing down, learning how to be still, and finding rest for your soul by adopting a posture of surrender with Jesus. And all of this is so important to me, and I believe it's so important in our cultural moment because of the hurried, manic, control-obsessed world you and I live in. So it's just great to have you here tuning in today. Now, the genesis of this episode comes from a series of conversations I've had with some of you, specifically people who are from my home church, Mosaic, here in Baltimore, who in the last few months have sort of separately on their own decided to step into extended times of solitude. And some of them did it for a day, while others went away for like the whole weekend, but at least three different times, some of you would reach out to me and we would have a nearly identical conversation because you'd approach me and ask the same questions like, hey, how do I prepare for a solitude day or retreat? What sort of things should I be thinking through? What should I bring? How do I get my mind right? Stuff like that. And after having this convo for like the third time in a month, I realized this is probably a tension that I should speak to. And it's probably something that those of you who listen consistently have thought about doing, or perhaps not knowing what to do as you prepare for a solitude time might be a roadblock that's actually keeping you from stepping in and taking the plunge with this practice of silence and withdrawal. So today I want to outline six practical ways to prepare for a solitude day or retreat so that at least while you're in the crucible of silence and withdrawal from the world, as difficult as this can be, when you step into solitude, I want to help you step into it with confidence instead of insecurity. So that's what I want to do today. Now, before I get into it, I want to take a moment and just say, please, I don't really ask this much, but please, if you're listening, take a moment to follow and subscribe to the show on whichever platform you're using. It could be Spotify, Apple, or YouTube. Even more so, I would love for you to take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, if that's what you use. And if you're really brave, I would love for you to take a moment and just post about The White Flag on social media, whichever platforms you use, if these practices that we've been diving into over the last year almost have been helping you grow in your walk with Jesus. I don't pretend to be the expert, but it is my mission to help people get off the treadmill of spiritual burnout so they can become whole, they can be healthy, and make the biggest impact possible for the kingdom of God. So please like, follow, subscribe, repost, do something as we get ready to dive into another installment of The White Flag. Now, I want to be really real with you. You know, I like to be authentic. We talk about that on the show. For those of you that know me, I can be guilty of being a ready, shoot, aim kind of person, if you know what I mean. There are times when I'm so excited about something that I can start running without realizing where I'm going. And I'm not an expert planner. You need to know that. I'm not someone who's always thinking things through before going for it. I'm a very excitable person. I'm passionate. I want to experience life to the full. And so sometimes planning gets in the way of me living life, and it can bog me down. However, I have been leaning into these practices of courageous surrender with Jesus long enough now to experience firsthand what happens when you don't plan things out well. For example, last summer, I had a very specific want from God, and I'll dive into the importance of that in a little bit. But I was praying and asking God to help me get into this cohort that you've heard me talk about. To be honest, I didn't think I'd get in. I'm not all that impressive. I haven't written any books. There are some amazing folks in this group. And I was like, God, I really, really want to be a part of this community and learn from these people, but I don't know if I'm going to get in. It's a long shot. So I wanted to step into a time of prayer and just sort of show God how big of a deal this is to me. So I decided that I needed to take a solitude day to devote myself to prayer and fasting and setting aside a day of presence with God, not because He would then owe me anything, but because solitude was going to allow me to sift through the distractions of my life and be honest about why I even wanted this and what emotions were driving my motivations, and just sort of bring it to God and say, Lord, if this is of You, then I'd love for it to happen, and if not, teach me where I'm off. And so, without much planning, I decided on a day, and I grabbed my backpack and a journal. I grabbed my REI camping chair, and I loaded up my car. And, you know, the next day, I sort of withdrew from the world to head into this day of solitude. And I had a rough idea of where I was going to go, but no real plan. I was thinking of maybe going to this river area in Catonsville in the woods, or maybe driving further out to a nature preserve in Frederick, Maryland, where I knew I couldn't hear cars or planes or anything. So I head out. It's a Friday. It's the middle of June. And I wake up, and it's raining. And it's also like 62 degrees in the middle of June, which is pretty cold for this part of the country in that time of year. I'd made the decision I wasn't going to eat until dinner, so I was going to bring a lot of water. But the weather's kind of a downer, and so I start driving, and I'm driving in silence. I'm not really sure where I'm going, and I just sort of in my gut felt like, hey, I'm going to go out to the nature preserve in Frederick. And I end up just randomly deciding to go out there. It's like a 55-minute drive. I'm driving in silence. Traffic's not too bad, so far things have been okay. But then I get to the nature preserve, and I start driving on this road with like massive potholes. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to be driving in it. It's super wet. It's rainy. I find this like muddy area, and I'm nervous I can't get up the hill, so I just park the car, and I get out, and I start walking. And I start trying to set up shop throughout the woods to really sit and be centered for hours with God, but it's really wet, and the cicadas, you know, from last summer were still like howling all around me in the woods, and so it wasn't really quiet. And so long story short, I proceeded to sit and pray in the woods while it rained, and I got soaked. And then I would try to like read my Bible in the backseat of my car for a while, and that wasn't really ideal. So then I drove to a coffee shop, hoping that that would be better, but it was super loud and distracting. And then I drove to a library because I thought, hey, at least that'll be quiet. Nope. Because of COVID, I wasn't allowed to sit down. I was allowed to look at books, but I couldn't actually sit down in a quiet space and read anything. They took all the chairs out because of COVID. So then after all this, I'm like several hours into this, I finally just drive all the way back to Columbia, Maryland, and sat at a local Barnes & Noble, put on noise-canceling headphones, and just read and journaled and prayed some more. That was my solitude day. It was a bad day. I was frustrated and disappointed. I did not plan well. And on one hand, I went in really prepared because of what I needed from God, what I wanted from God, how I wanted to bring myself to Him. But on the other hand, I didn't do anything to prepare logistically, and it sucked. And you might be the type of person who plans logistics really well, so you would never go through what I did. But maybe you're not somebody who thinks to plan through your spiritual or emotional or prayerful needs. And so I want to cover both of these extremes. And I want to help give you 6 ways that you can prepare for a solitude day or retreat so that, as far as it depends on you, you can have an amazing time of pause and presence and prayer with God and really bring your full self there because you're not distracted by all the external factors that could be trying to pull you out of that moment with Jesus. So here they are, 6 ways that you can prepare for a solitude day or retreat. Number 1, start with your why. Start with your why. As you prepare to head into an extended time of silence and withdrawal in prayer, you must begin with the why that drives you. What is it that's motivating you to step into this time of solitude? This isn't something you can casually answer on your drive to a secluded spot or a monastery or something. It has to be something that you're willing to wrestle through with God in the days or weeks leading up to your solitude time. Now, part of being on staff at our church, Mosaic, means that sometimes you are prescribed a solitude day by your supervisor as a means to withdraw or just break away from the reactive patterns of ministry. So in some sense, you know, for the very, very small number of people who work in church, you know, your solitude why could be your boss is making you. But for most of us, that's not the case. For most of you, your why is going to be something much more personal and more intimate and important to you. And if you don't know where to start, here's another way I'd phrase it. Ask yourself, what is your want? What is your deep want from God that you want from Him more than anything else in this season? Where do you need God to show up? Is there an opportunity you're hoping comes your way? Is there a tension with an estranged family member? Is there a pain in your marriage? Is there an unfulfilled prayer that you really want God to come through on, but you've actually stopped praying it because you just think he's not listening anymore? One of the best questions to ask as you prepare for solitude is to be honest with yourself about what do you actually want from your Heavenly Father. Doing that work for days or weeks leading up to solitude and wrestling with your deep want might be the single best thing you do before getting away for a day or for a weekend, because it frames what you need to do with God, it frames how you approach him, and it even could frame the resources you bring with you. I've got one friend who was navigating some anger and pain with his parents, and in his preparation, he realized that he needed time to be still and really bring that anger to God, and he needed to reflect on the Psalms because he had a tendency to hide his emotions when he spent time with God. Another person went away on a retreat, and they were seeking discernment, and they really wanted to hear from God, so they knew that the amount of, like, non-stimulation time was crucial because their want informed the quiet they needed and the posture they wanted to have with God. And even if that question isn't helpful, if you really don't have a strong answer to that, at a baseline, a great place to begin, if you're going to step into a time of solitude, is just do an emotional check-in with God the days leading up to your time away and see if there are any themes. Maybe you're finding that you're anxious and scared a lot, or you're angry about some things, or is there an underlying sadness that burdens you, or are you finding yourself being almost disproportionately tender to other people? Our emotions don't teach us anything about God or Scripture necessarily, but they are tools God uses to teach us about ourselves. So let just an emotional check-in be a trigger to explore what is your why, what is your deep want, and let that frame how you approach your solitude. Ask yourself, is there a dilemma in your life? Are you blocked from something? Are you hesitant? Are you scared of something? All of those questions could be integral to figuring out what is it that you really want from God, and how are you going to bring that to him as you step into this time of solitude. Now, this isn't like, I need something from God, I'm going to hack the system, go into solitude to get what I want. The main goal of solitude is presence with God. But I think it's helpful for the human heart to have a target, and this is a great way to build one. So number one, start with your why. Number two, from that place, predetermine what you will and won't bring with you. Having been informed by your why or your want, removed from the moment, you know, in advance, think about and invite God in to help you decide what you should bring into this time of quiet with him. When I headed off into my 3.5 days at the monastery in 2020, I knew that God was challenging me to bring my journal and my Bible, and that was it. And it's not that spiritual books were bad. You know, I think many times we should bring additional reading from brilliant people. But for me in that season, a book by Dallas Willard or Thomas Merton or Ruth Haley Barton, it would have been a welcomed distraction that would have kept me from being exposed, from not having anything to do and nothing to learn, and instead just learning how to be with God. And so I chose in advance, I'm not allowed to bring anything but my Bible and my journal. The big point here is determine now in advance what you want to read, what you'll bring. If you'll allow yourself to bring headphones, or even if the existence of technology might be an off-ramp to being fully present with God. Listen, just asking these things is courageous because we don't do it. This is really impressive that you're even thinking about this. It's hard. You're already pushing back. You're already pushing back against the formation practices of society by even evaluating whether or not you should have these things with you. So give yourself a pat on the back. Give yourself a break. Don't try to be a monk on your first try. But before God, with his help, inviting the Holy Spirit to guide you, choose what you're going to bring or not bring, and then follow through with it. That's number two. The third way to prepare for your solitude is set some goals for yourself, specifically when it comes to the amount of time you'll spend in silence, what you're going to read, and how you're going to limit stimulation. Set some goals for yourself. Time in solitude and silence is best spent when we can minimize our decision making, where we position ourselves in a way that we don't have to say no to the temptations of looking at our phone or listening to music or distracting ourselves, and instead of having to expend, without having to spend discipline by saying no, we instead create clear targets that motivate us to stay the course throughout our day or weekend because we've set those goals in advance. And some examples of what I've seen done or what I've done myself is setting a target like this, saying, I don't want to make a sound or hear anything besides nature until 12 p.m. Or I don't want to eat or drink anything except water until dinner. Or I want to let myself just walk and roam around in quiet for 1 hour before I try to read anything or get into the Bible, just because I know I'm going to be distracted. So another example, someone made the decision to read through the entire Psalms from start to finish, giving themselves a 10-minute break every hour. Or someone else decided once I was talking to them, they allowed themselves to listen to worship music on their phone after they'd spent 3 hours with nothing but a Bible and their journal. I think setting a target for yourself related to how long you're going to be in silence, what you're going to read, and what amount of stimulation you'll have gives you an extra ability to endure when you have to navigate the weirdness and just uncertainty of silence and solitude. There's this famous story of a woman named Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she swam the Catalina Channel, which is between the island of Catalina and the California coast out in the Pacific Ocean. And in 1952, she tried to swim this channel, and she swam for 15 straight hours in heavy fog. But as the fog continued and she couldn't tell where she was at, she started to doubt her ability to actually get to the coast. And she swam one additional hour, the fog continued, and without really knowing where she was or how she was doing, she signaled to her spotters in a nearby boat and she called it quits. So she climbs out of the water, she gets into the boat, and when she's in the boat catching her breath, she's horrified because she realizes she was only 1 mile away from shore. She was basically there, but the fog prevented her from enduring when things got hard. And listen, setting some targets and rhythms in advance for your extended time of quiet and solitude, setting those targets is a way to lift the fog metaphorically so that you can make your way through this time of extended presence with God. Because you will feel like you're in a fog at times. Like, there's going to be times when you think you're not doing it right, you're not sure if it's making a difference, but having these goals are just going to create little mile markers for you as you have extended time with God. And it's only going to help you stay the course and continue to lean in what I'd call a sustainable way for the amount of time that you're gone. And that could be for a day or could be for a whole week. In light of that, here's tip number 4. Once you've set those goals, set realistic expectations for yourself. Listen, depending on how long you're in solitude, the first 30 minutes or the first 13 hours might feel like a total waste. You'll bounce in and out of being focused. You'll probably be super distracted. You'll have strange memories pop up or old conversations occur. You might have negative memories consume you. As Ruth Haley Barton puts it, she says, all those distractions are like the sediment of the soul coming to rest in a person who's finally slowed down enough to be at ease. And so I talked about this in one of my previous episodes, but when I went into the monastery, I was shocked where my mind went during my experience. And for you, as you step into solitude, you've got to give yourself some grace for how frenetic or manic or distracted or just how undisciplined you feel. And know that this doesn't mean that God isn't with you. It doesn't mean that God isn't stoked that you're doing this. It's just part of being human. Henry Nouwen says it like this: my daily hour with God is not a time of deep prayer in which I contemplate the divine mysteries or feel a special closeness to God. On the contrary, it is full of distractions, inner restlessness, confusion, and boredom. It seldom, if ever, pleases my senses. It is so comforting to hear that one of the foremost authors and thinkers on the contemplative practices of faith says his daily time with God is filled with restlessness and distraction. So I say all that to just encourage you, be realistic with yourself. One of the reasons solitude is such a powerful tool of spiritual formation is because it exposes the anxiety and the scattered state of our brains that otherwise would be camouflaged by the demands of our modern world. And so it means, it almost guarantees, solitude will be jarring a bit, but that's part of the process. It's not a glitch to be fixed. It's a feature to be embraced. So set realistic expectations for yourself and give yourself grace. Tip number 5, secure the logistics of your time and trip ahead of time. Don't be like me. All I mean is make sure to plan out your trip in advance so you're not worrying about the wrong things when you should just be present and focused with God. Don't be like me on my trip in the woods. Have a plan, know where you're going, be realistic about how loud or quiet it'll be, and when that day comes, you'll be free to use all the discipline you have to not make decisions, but just be present with God. So secure the logistics for your time and your trip ahead of the time. Take care of business beforehand so that your only focus that day is just being present and still with Him. And lastly, number 6, here's your last tip. Recruit at least 2 people to pray for you while you're away. In fact, I'd encourage you to boldly ask that they fast from something that day or that weekend while you're gone, so that when they reject the impulse to go to social media, or they reject watching the show, or they choose to eat not that food or something else because they're fasting for you, they remember to pray for you and what you've shared with them. I think there's been times in my life when I can just tell people are praying for me. And I know that's hard to explain, but even the confidence that you'll approach solitude with shifts when you know people are going to God on your behalf, cheering for you, pleading for you, and awaiting your return to hear how God moved in your life. So the last thing is to recruit at least 2 people to pray for you while you're away and even fast from something so they think of you frequently and pray for you while you're gone. So 6 ways to prepare for extended time of solitude. Could be a couple hours in a day, could be going away for a weekend. Number 1, start with your why. Number 2, predetermine what you will and won't bring. Number 3, set some goals that frame your time. Number 4, set realistic expectations for yourself and give yourself grace. Number 5, secure the logistics in advance. And number 6, recruit people to pray for you. Solitude is a serious investment of your time, your attention, and sometimes your money. So why not take it seriously by doing the work on the front end so you can really step into it with presence and expectation? Listen, if you've done one of these recently, I would love to hear from you. If you're getting ready to go on one, even more so, I'd love to talk to you and encourage you and hear what you're doing. So as always, you can contact me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan or hit me up at my website, jonathanmoynihan.com. But that's it. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'll see y'all next week with a new interview we have coming up with a new friend of mine. He's brilliant. He's passionate. He's from London. I can't wait to share it with you. But until then, be well, peace out, and I'll talk to you soon.